Ramban, Parshas Vayeshev. So the Parsha begins with the story of Yosef, and it says Yosef is 17, and he's shepherding sheep, and he is a na'ar es b'nei Bilha es b'nei Zilpa. He was a na'ar who hung out with b'nei Bilha and b'nei Zilpa, and vayabe Yosef es dibasam ra el abihem. And he brought Lashon Hara about them to his father. Okay, so who's who? So the Rashi explains that he hung out with b'nei Bilha and b'nei Zilpa because the b'nei Leah, his brothers from Leah, from Leah, were making fun of him or mevaza him, so he therefore hung out with the children of Bilha and Zilpa. And when it says vayavei Yosef d'ibasamra el aviyam, it's talking about he would say lashon hara about the bnei Leah, presumably because they were being mevaza him. So he brought lashon hara to Yaakov about the bnei Leah. So with that understanding, it sounds like the bnei Bilha and Zilpa were nice to him. He never said anything bad about them, which begs the question. So then when the B'nai Leah said, okay, they wanted to kill Yosef, why didn't the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa stand up for him? He was with them all the time. They seemed to like him and never said anything bad about them. So why didn't they help him? If you're going to say because they were outnumbered by the B'nai Leah, that's not true, because Reuven really was on Yosef's team, at least to not kill him. So between the four, B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa, plus him, plus Reuven, they didn't have anything to worry about. So why would they have not helped him? That's the Ramban's question. So the Ramban has a different shot. He says that he hung out with B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa because his father put the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa in charge of him. It says he was 17, B'hu Na'ar. He was young. So his father wanted him to be watched over. So he asked the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa, because it seems that they were considered the less chashuv, so he asked them to watch over Yosef. In fact, the uncle says, B'hu Merabe, that B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa raised Yosef. They watched over him. And who did he bring Lashon Hara about? Them. So we don't know why, but for some reason, according to the Rabban, Yosef is saying Lashon Hara about the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa. But they were really watching over him, and they had been being nice to him, watching over him. And the B'nai Leah didn't like, so that's why B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa didn't like Yosef, because he was saying Lashon Hara about them. And B'nai Leah didn't like him, because it says, Vayekanu Achiv, because they saw that Yaakov liked Yosef the most. So the Pasuk says, Vayira Achav, Ki Oso Ahav Avihem Es Mikal Achav, Vayisna'u Oso. So that's why the B'nai Leah hated him, because they were jealous. They saw that the father, Yaakov, liked Yosef the most. And the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpa, they didn't like him because he was speaking Lashon Hara about them. So therefore, all of them hated him, and that's why none of them stood up for him. Now, the Ramban, again, like I said, does not explain why he said Lashon Hara about them, but that's the story. Okay, then he has this dream that about the bundles of wheat that are bowing to him. And the Ramban explains that dream was supposed to hint that through wheat, they would all be bowing to him, which of course they did. They all had to come to Mitzrayim to get wheat, to get food. So they all bowed down to him. That was the dream. And the brothers hated him for two reasons. One, because of the dream that they'd be bowing to them. And two, al devarav, it says, v'yosifu otzino so al chalam osav al devarav. They did the chalom that made it sound like they're bowing to him, and Val Dvarav, and the fact that he shared it with them. So that made them even angrier. Okay, then he has a second dream, which involves his father, and that's why he tells his father. And he says the dream is he sees the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. Okay, so what does the moon refer to? Now this is interesting. Rashi says the sun is Yaakov. The moon is, Rashi says, Bilha. It looked like it was saying Rachel. Like the sun was Yaakov, and the moon was Rachel, and the 11 stars were his brothers. And that's how Yaakov seemed like he interpreted it, because he said in front of the brothers so that they should hear, oh, of course, that's ridiculous. Your mother's dead. So the moon, that's obviously Rachel, she can't come about to you, she's already in Nefteris. So therefore, just like that part is nonsense, your whole dream is nonsense. And Yaakov said that to try to get the brothers to not hate him. But in reality, says Rashi, that moon refers to Bilhah. That's Rashi's pshat. Ramban disagrees with that as well. He says that Bilhah was also dead by the time they got down to Mitzrayim. None of the Imahos were alive by the time Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim. Because it says in the list of the 70 names, none of those wives are mentioned. So you'll say, okay, lots of wives aren't mentioned. Well, the Ramban says, the Pasuk says, Milvad Neshei B'nei Yaakov, which he says means besides the wives of the B'nei Yaakov, and it does not say Milvad Nashav or Neshei Banav. So it's besides the wives of his children, but not besides his wives, because they didn't come. They were already Nifteris, according to the Ramban. So, it could not have referred to Bilhah. Rather, says the Ramban, it refers to everybody. All the 70. They're all Nichlal in the moon. The moon gets its sun, its glow from the sun. So anyone who got its radiance from Yaakov is the moon. So that means his whole household. All 70 are included. And just the 11 are because the brothers bowed to Yosef separately, right? They came first, and they bowed down before the 70 people came. So, that's why the 11 stars are there, because they separately bowed to Yosef on a separate occasion. And the sun and the moon are Yaakov and everybody. That's the Ramban's pshat. Okay, then we have Yaakov sends Yosef Liros Shlom Achiv to go see how his brothers are doing. And he gets lost. The Pasuk tells us that he gets lost. V'yinei toa basada. And somebody meets him and asks him, what do you need? And he says, I'm looking for my brothers. Do you know where they are? And the whole long story about it. And he met him and he said, they're here. And like, what is that whole story doing in the Torah for? Literally a story of Yosef asking directions. Like, why is that in the Torah? So Ramban says in the Torah to tell you that, I guess you'd say Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem runs the world. If something's supposed to happen, there's no thing that's going to get in the way for it happening. If Yosef gets lost, Hashem will send a malach to get him unlost. Because when things are supposed to happen, they're supposed to happen. And Hashem will see to it that it happens, and without miracles, in a natural way. But that's the point of it, telling it to you, because to tell you, even a small thing like that, like getting lost, where he could have easily just got lost and just turned home and forget it, and the whole story never would have happened, Hashem takes care of it. Every little bit is controlled by Hashem, and Hashem makes what he wants to happen up. Okay, so his brothers see him coming, and they want to kill him. Literally kill him. So, but the Pasuk says, Vayisnaklo so lahamiso, that they conspire to kill him. So the Ramban says they were trying to kill him indirectly. They didn't want to have to actually take a sword and chop his head off. So they said, they quote some Medrash that they tried to find some dogs to attack him. Anyway, whatever it is, it didn't work out. But they say, let's kill him now. We'll throw him in a pit. And we will say, Chayira Achalosur is eaten by a wild animal. So then we'll see what happens with his dreams. What was meant with that? We'll see what happens with his dreams. So Rashi brings from Rabbi Yitzchak that it was the Ruach HaKodesh was saying, let's see what happens with his dreams. Not the brothers. The brothers didn't say what happens to Jim. But rather, as the Ruach HaKodesh saying, let's see what happens with his dreams. And Rashi rejects out of hand the possibility that the brother said that, because they're going to kill him. So what do you mean? We'll see what happens to his dreams. If you kill him, nothing's going to happen with his dreams. So the Ramban says, no, that it's the brother said it. In other words, the brothers were going to try to kill him, but they were aware that Yosef had a dream. And maybe that dream is true. So they were going to see, they're going to try to kill him. If they kill him, he's dead. If he somehow survives, Maloch Yimloch Aleinu. Like they would see, if he escaped, then they're going to happen. One way or another, that dream's going to happen. So that's what they said it seriously. Nira Mayu Chalom Osav. We'll see. If we're successful, so then the dream, we don't need to worry about it, obviously. If he escapes, we know the dream is going to come true. Okay, so then, because Reuven convinces them, so they throw Yosef, instead of killing him, they throw Yosef in a boar. And Chazal tell us that the boar had snakes and scorpions. Okay, so the Ramban says it must have been they couldn't have seen him. They couldn't have seen, rather, the snakes and scorpions. So the Ramban says, how do I know they couldn't see the snakes and scorpions? If you'd asked me, I would have said because that would be killing him directly. If they threw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions, and then that's kind of like killing him directly. The Ramban doesn't say that, perhaps because, like we said before, according to the Medrash, they were willing to send dogs at him. So as long as they didn't directly kill him, just indirectly, it seems like they would have been okay with that. But the Ramban said it must be they didn't see the snakes and the scorpions in the pit. Why? Because if they had known that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit, and Yosef was doing fine in there, that means an open miracle happened to save Yosef, then they would have known they are wrong. If Hashem did such an open miracle for the person, it can't be that he's chayav misa. So they would have known they're wrong, and they never would have gone ahead. They would have gotten him out of there immediately. Must be they couldn't tell that there was nechashim and akrabim, though, there. Okay, now let's clarify here. What did the brothers think when they threw him in the pit? Like, what was the plan? We know Reuven's plan was to get him out of there, right? What were the brothers thinking? Were they originally thinking to sell him? Doesn't sound like it. Yehuda came up with that plan. So what was the plan? The Ramban sounds like he said the plan was to leave him in there and starve to death. That was the plan. They were going to not do it, be a dime. They were going to throw him in there and leave him in there and go home, and he'll just die eventually. But then Yehuda says that no. Doesn't mean literally we will cover his blood. It means ke'ilu, like a guy who secretly kills someone and covers his blood. But what he meant to say is, this is the equivalent. It's true, it's better than doing it directly with our own hands, but it's the same. It's the same as killing him. We're going to be garim his misa, that's also considered killing him. And the Ramban says, and he's right. As was said about his great-great-great-great-grandkid, David, he isn't quoted because it's his great-grandkid, but you see, that's what the Pasuk says about David when he had Bathsheba's husband killed. It says that Osar Horakta Becher B'nei Amon, it's called that he killed him. So Groma is still, you know, it's a deep, you know, maybe change how based in Shalmata deals with you, but it's whatever it is, it's still considered like killing him. So therefore Yehuda says, let's not have him get dead at all. Let's sell him. So that was that's what happened. They decided to sell him. Okay. So they sell him, and the Pasuk says, "Vayishalchu es ksonas apasim ve'aviv les es alaviyim," and they sent the ksonas pasim, and they brought it to their father. So the Ramban just brings up shot. What does it mean, this vayishalchu? It means they chopped it up to make it look like an animal, like they said. They claimed an animal had eaten him, so that's what they were trying to recreate. So vayishalchu comes from the word shalach, which he says is a sword, or it can mean stabbing. So they took their swords and stabbed his cloak a million times to make it look like an animal attacked him. As it says, in Eov Lamed Vav Yud Beis Beshalach Yavaru. It can mean the sword and ripped up, so that's what they did. Okay, then we have the story of Yehuda and Tamar. So Yehuda marries someone who's a Bas Ish Knani. Rashi says, doesn't mean Knani, because of course they would never marry a Knani. Must have been a merchant. But the Ramban also brings the Ben Ezra that says, no, it was a Bnos Kananis, and that's why the kids were bad. Right? They got killed because they were Motzi Zera, Aaron Onan. That's why, because they were bad kids. Okay. But the Ramban thinks that they are Tagarim. At least that's what it seemed to me. And Tamar, for sure, she was not from Canaan either, just from people who lived in Canaan. But she herself was not from Canaan. Because otherwise that makes Mashiach come from Canaan. He says that's not possible. Okay, so then the Ramban tells us actually a very important thing about Er, which really tells us something really about Yaakov, which is, so his son Er, Yehuda's son Er, was Ra Be'inei Hashem. And it says that he died because of his sin. But it doesn't say what he did. It just says he was Ra Be'inei Hashem, and Hashem killed him. Why tell us that? So the Ramban says this to tell you, in case you think it's because of Yehuda. He's telling you Er died because Er was bad, not because Yehuda was bad. In other words, Yehuda sold Yosef. This is coming right off that story. Yehuda sells Yosef, And then we find out he has kids and they died. Oh, maybe it's a punishment for what Yehuda did. No. Pasuk is telling you that is not what went on here. Er died because Er was bad, not because his father sinned. And he says, because Zera Tzadikim Yivorach, if someone's a tzaddik, nothing's going to happen to their kid. Got that? Zera Tzadikim Yivorach. Which is a problem for Yaakov. He says, that's why when Yaakov found out Yosef was dead, which he wasn't, but he was told he was dead, he was Misabel and he was Vayimoy and Lehiz Nachim, he would not get over it. Why? Because if he died, I mean, something's wrong with, besides, obviously, that it was said about him, but you can't, he couldn't get over it because it meant that there was something wrong with him. Because it doesn't happen to tzaddikim. Zera tzaddikim yivarech. Someone's a true tzaddik, their kids will not die of some tragedy like that. And therefore, that's why he was so upset. A regular person, obviously, we're not talking about it. A super tzaddik. Zera tzaddikim yivarech. That's why he's memayin lehis nachem. He couldn't be consoled. Okay, then we have the concept of doing yibum. So the Ramban explains that, well, first of all, Rashi says, Rashi makes it sound, I guess, that it's literally Yikra Hashem Achiv Ames. As in, like, you call, if Yibum is, if someone dies, the Rabban seems to have understood Rashi, that meant if someone dies, so then the living brother does Yibum to the wife, and the kid you name after the living brother. So, the Rabban says it's not true. You don't have to name the kid after, that's not what Yibum's about. You don't have to name the kid after the husband who died. And, if you did, what would be so terrible? It says, Vayeda Onan Kilo Lo Yiya Hazara, because he was supposed to be doing Yibum and he found out that the kid would not be for him, so he was Mashchis Hazara. Just because you're naming after him? Like, that's the big deal. What's the big deal? So he says, that's not what Yibum is. So the Rabban says, rather, it's all a Sod Gadol Misoda Satorah Betolda Sa'adam. That if whoever is someone who can Yarshin, right, and for us, Yibum is brothers. But here, this obviously, it's not only brothers in the times of the Torah. It was a relative, but anyway, someone who could be Yoresh, the dead person, for us again, it's just brothers, but that act of Yibum, somehow, the neshama of the person who was Nifter goes into the baby. So it becomes like the dead brother. So that's why it's a big chesed, and it's a very big cruelty to not do yibum. That's why someone who does chalitza, you call him chalatzana, like you did something so terrible, because it is terrible. You're supposed to do chalitza. You're supposed to do yibum, rather, because that brings the neshama back down. Anyway, so the minhag used to be by anybody who could be a yorish. Now it's just with brothers, but that's the idea. And that's why it's cruel to not do it. Now, of course, if you're Sephardi, we still do it today. If you're Ashkenazi, we don't. But anyway, that's the idea, he says. Now, the Pasuk says that he Yehuda did not give Shelah, the third brother, when Aaron and Onan both died, he did not give Shelah over to Tamar because he was afraid that she would, that he would die. So, Pasuk says, Shvi Amana Besabich Adig Del Shela B'ni. So stick around till Shela grows up. Ki Amar, because he said, Penya Muskam Huke Achav. He was afraid he was going to die. His son would die also. So Rashi says, he was just pushing her off because he had no intention of ever giving Tamar to Shela because he was afraid that he was going to die. So he just pushed her off. So the Ramban just like, doesn't understand that Yehuda was afraid of her. Like, why didn't you just tell her the truth? If Yehuda didn't want her to marry Shelah because Shelah was also going to die, why was he afraid of her? That he was docha her bakash. Why didn't you just tell her go home or whatever you could have said to her? Like, you know, there's no reason that he should have been afraid to tell her the truth if he was not interested in giving it to her. Rather, Ramban says no, that was not the issue. What he was afraid of was to give Shela to Tamar at this age, meaning all of his sons had been young when they were married to Tamar, and he was afraid that they were all going to be Motzi Zela Vatala as well, because they were young and, you know, not doing the right thing. But he figured when Shela got older, then he'll be mature enough to do the right thing. So he was waiting for Shela to get over older, because otherwise he would have died, perhaps from like Tamar with Tamar, because he would have been done the same avera. So he was waiting till she got older. But Tamar thought she thought they were old enough, and she didn't want to wait, and that's why she did what she did. She was in a great rush to do mitzvahs and having Zera Kodesh, the Ramban says. Okay, fine. So she gets pregnant, so she does that thing where she convinces, she gets Yehuda to be with her, and then they find out she's pregnant. Yehuda says, Hotzia v'sisareif, she should be burnt. Why? So Rashi brings, because she was the daughter of Shem, and a Bas Kohen, whose Mizana is Bisreifa. Okay, so if a lady's a Bas Kohen and she's Mizana, so she gets burnt. So the Ramban asks, if she's married, Tamar was not married. She was just, at most, she was Zakuk to Shela. She was what we call a Shomeris Yavam. So then she's not allowed to marry someone else, but she does not get Sreifa. Absolutely not. You have to be really mad. A Shomeris Yavam, who's with someone else, who's not her Yavam, is not Bisreifa at all. So what does that mean? She doesn't get Bisreifa. And if you're going to say it's a thing, well, maybe Bnei Noach have this mitzvah too, and if they don't do it, so they get burnt for even anything. That's not true. There's no Yibum by Bnei Noach. It also says Yehuda was the first one to do Yibum. Anyway, there was no mitzvah of Yibum by Nachrim, so what do you mean she's Chayiv Misa? The Ramban actually says something interesting, that she was Chayiv Misa not because of anything to do, not because of the Avera of Shomeris Yavam per se, but rather it was a type of Morid B'machas, because Yehuda was king even then. And it was his decision to give her Sreifa like a type of Morid B'malchus, because it was from his family, and it was a type of Morid B'malchus. He says it's being Mevaza the Malchus to do such a thing. In fact, the Ramban says the whole reason why a Bas Kohen is B'Sreifa is because a Kohen's on a higher level, it's a bigger B'Zion, so a bigger punishment. So a king is even on a higher level, so it was that type of thing. He decided that's why she should get Misa. And then we have the story with Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. It's not a lot there. It didn't seem to me that's different than the, you know, what we're used to with Rashi. Except Kadvarim Ha'ela, when Yosef fled and then Eshes Potiphar, was with her husband, according to Rashi, Kadvarim Ha'ela, that she told him, B'shas Tashmish, by the way, this is what Yosef did with me. Just like we're having Tashmish, that's what Yosef tried to do with me. So the Ramban says that just sounds hard to understand. Like, why wouldn't she tell him the second he walked in the house, kind of thing? You know what I mean? Like, it would be suspicious, the Ramban says. If she waited till that, then the husband would just find her disgusting. And why didn't you scream? And why, you know, that happened and you didn't hear you scream? Anyway, the Ramban says, besides, why would she tell him then, which makes her look bad? Number two is, Potiphar was a Sris. That's Sris Paro, right? Potiphar was a Sris, so if he was a Sris, like he could not have Tashmish physically because he was castrated, so he could work for the king. So then what Kadvar Mele? He can't have Tashmish. So Ramban, basically says that whatever the source of him not being able to have Tashmish with her, they did what one does when one is married to someone. They were married. He was normal. It's when he became an Evet to Pyro, then he made him a Sris. He was already married. So they did whatever they did together. That Tracy said happened, meaning not much, which is why it wasn't such a big deal. In other words, she said, "What we're doing, this act of a type of what he calls Mishmash Yadayim and whatever Gilui Erva and Mishmash Yadayim." She said, "That's what." Happened. Well, that's what Yosef tried to do. Not actual Tashmish. They didn't have that together, and that's not what she said happened. She said Yosef was trying to do this. Okay. Right, anyway, so for the violation, he gets thrown in the pit, and he meets the other Shrisei Paro, the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Haufim, and the Ramban says that in the Pasuk doesn't say Vayishalo Samle more. Like, what's why you're said? It says, "Vishal Srisei Paro Sherito B'Mishmar Beis Adonav." So Ramban says this is to emphasize how much confidence Yosef must have had. These were people who were high up there in the king's world, and he was taking his life in his hands by talking to them and asking them to interpret their dreams. Like you said, the Sarah Ophim, he gave him a bad interpretation that he was going to get killed. Let's say he had been wrong, and the Sarah Ophim got out of there and he was fine. He would have had Yosef killed, the Ramban says. So he was taking a big risk, but he says, to show you his confidence, he was a nar, he was in a foreign land, he was batach b'chachmaso. Ramban doesn't tell you what's the point of telling me how great, like, why do I need to know that he was so confident? I'm not sure. But he just says that it's to tell you that how confident he was in his chachma. I'm not sure what you're supposed to take from that. So let's say the Sarah HaMashkim has this dream, and he has a grapevine in front of him, and on the grapevine is three sringim, and it blossomed, and it budded fruit, and whatever, everything. So the Ramban says the whole picture here, that it blossomed and grew grapes right away, that was to show Yosef that this story was going to happen quickly. So it wasn't going to be 3 years till the Sarah Mashkin was freed, or 3 months, but rather 3 days, because it happened quickly. Okay, just, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, he says, you don't need what the Ibn Ezra says, but the Ibn Ezra says that the way, because the question that's implied is, how did Yosef know that was going to happen in 3 days? So Ramban says, because this whole story, the whole thing is meant to show you everything's moving quickly, he knows the quickest thing possible, which is 3 days. And how does he know, not 3 hours? I don't know. But that's how he knew it would be 3 days and not 3 years and not 3 months. But the Ibn Ezra says, no, he knew it was going to be 3 days because he knew Paro's birthday was in 3 days. So it made sense. If Paro's birthday is in 3 days, probably it means in 3 days and not 3 months and 3 years. So that was interesting. Okay, then Yosef tells him the dreams, and he says, okay, when you, Sarah Mashkin, get back to Paro, if you could kindly remember, he says, Kim zechartani itcha kasher yitavlach. If you will remember me with you, when things will go well for you, and then do with me a chesed, and then remind his kartani paro v'tzitzanim in abayis hazeh. It's a little confusing exactly what the words, just literally what the words Yosef was asking for. Ki im zechartani itcha, if you will remember me with you when things go well for you, and you will do with me chesed and remind Paro of me and take me out of this house. The Ramban gives what he thinks is the right pshat, is that he was asking the Sarah HaMashkim to hire him. Got it? To take him as a Evan. Like, when you get out of here, tell Paro I'm a good guy, and that he should let me out of here and be your worker. So remember, Yosef was not aware of any dreams Paro was having. All he was saying was, okay, can you get me out of here? And here's how you could do it. When you go to Paro, when you get out of here, go to Paro and say how great I am, and you want to take me as a worker. So that's ki im zechartani itcha. Remember me with you, meaning take me as a worker. Kasher yitavlachem, when things go well for you, to get out of here and do with me chesed, his kartani el paro, that I'm a good guy, and then I'll get out of this house and I'll work for you. Then he says, ki gunav, gunavti merata ivrim. I was stolen from the land of the Ivrim. So why is it the land of the Ivrim? That's the land of Avram, who was from Ha'ivri, from Ivr HaNahar. But he was so great that the people from there called themselves, well, his children actually, I guess, called themselves Ivrim, after Avram. And that's what Jews, of course, call themselves today, even Ad HaYom HaZeh. And he says the reasons why his kids named themselves Ivrim, Ishlo Yisarvu Ba'ameh HaRotzos HaKnanim. They shouldn't get mixed up with the Knanim. So the Pashup Shat, what that means, is that they didn't want to they were living in Canaan. So they didn't want to call themselves Canaanites, so rather they called themselves something that connoted that they were from Avram Avinu. So they called them Ivrim, from the other side. Also, it could be, of course, from the other side. It means not you guys. I'm from somewhere else. I'm not from Canaan. Bond doesn't spell it out, but it just says that that's why they kept the names, and they shouldn't get mixed up with Canaanim. Okay, stop here.